Hi, and welcome to the Imaginal Podcast. This is a place that protects and explores what we need to actualize our uniqueness. And like the caterpillar, who carries its butterfly blueprint in its imaginal cells all the way to the chrysalis, and then melts into liquid before it transforms, we too have an inner knowing that can tell us how to make our wings. And here's your host, life coach and consultant, Lori Sauce, who goes most commonly by her nickname, Sauce.
Hello, it's Sauce. Welcome to the podcast. Happy New Year. As I mentioned last week, we're taking a couple of weeks off and reprising two episodes that I recorded with singer Leslie Page on fear. They are two of our most beloved and favorite episodes. I hope that this one brings you some laughs and some encouragement. Have a beautiful holiday. Hello, it is Sauce. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm always so grateful to do these intros as I imagine you listening, and I'm so grateful for you and so thankful that we have this space. It is my deep desire to have a world where we all show up in a more fully expressed version of ourselves. And that sounds so trite, almost too sugary, but it really is at the heart of my whole being, as well as being a cornerstone for this whole podcast. And so that is exactly why we recorded this episode. Leslie Page is back, and we started a series on when you have self-esteem, but you still have fear. And so in finishing this series, we knew that we kept opening up all these cans of worms, and we were going everywhere because fear touches a lot of places and it unnecessarily holds back a lot of people. And we were so resolute. We just want so badly to see people's lives expressed and their talent and their creativity and their voice and all of these things. And so we just kept opening up more cans. And I know, you know, we could probably do an entire podcast on fear and how to move through it and the benefits of it and so many different facets of it. But for now, we wanted to just finish this bit by storytelling in the hopes that our stories would catalyze yours, your memories of your stories, as well as just an extra measure of courage for each of us to move through anything that fear is hanging on to respond to whatever is calling to you, and to show up in a way that doesn't let fear have its way. You know, we don't want fear to have its way with you, with any of us. And it's so normal to have fear. So last week, Leslie told an incredible story about moving through fear and how that led to empowerment for her, and also how that totally changed her life. If you haven't listened to it, it is so touching and so inspiring, and it just touches into the places of our lives that really mean something. I loved having that conversation with her. I will put that link in the show notes, as well as the links to the other two episodes about self-esteem and fear, and to Leslie's interview, which is incredible. So today I bring my part of the duo storytelling adventure, and I share a story with you that is about moving through fear again. And today's subtopic is, what's the worst thing that could happen? And so I hope that you laugh through this story alongside me. I had a few mishaps in this adventure through fear, but in the end, it was the genesis of one of my most meaningful pursuits in life and something that holds so much memory and so much treasure. I'm just so glad that all of this craziness happened, because if not for this, there wouldn't have been anything else after that. And so here is my conversation with Leslie. We welcome your stories, and we are holding space for everything that you are thinking about as we all show each other that fear is not that big, giant challenge that cannot be conquered. It is something that is human, and we can move through it. Here is my conversation with Leslie Page. Hello. Hello, everyone. I'm back with Leslie Page for our series on fear.
Yes. Hey, hey.
And today we are continuing from last week, where we are sharing stories about fear And today we're going to look at fear. When you move through fear, what's the worst thing that could happen?
Right?
Sometimes some things happen.
And sometimes they don't.
So I know. And Leslie, last week, okay, if you haven't caught last week's episode, I'm saying it's a must. It is the most beautiful, amazing, funny, fun, empowering, so many adjectives episode. I really, really suggest that you go back and listen to it.
Yes. And yes, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Leslie shared a story and it was going from fear to, how would you describe it, Leslie, that story?
Oh, golly. Golly gosh. I guess I sorry, just went to the 50s for a second. let me get my bubble gum and my pool skirt. I guess I would call it like, you know, I think it was the beginning, you know, pushing through that door of fear was the beginning of a lifetime of stepping into who I was meant to be, you know, yeah. And sometimes we're faced with those moments where it's kind of like a do or die sort of, so to speak. It's like, this is the moment. And, you know, just like that Kelly Clarkson song, a moment like this, you know, like, oh, and you have a moment, you know, where you have a choice to either chicken out or push through. And then you get there and it just is life-changing.
Totally life-changing for you too, because this is your unbelievable gift. It's about singing. Please go back and listen to it. I'm not usually so forceful, but it's such a great, amazing story. And yes, you went from not knowing that you had this amazing, you knew something, mm-hmm. but to step into it, right?
Yeah. And to see the reaction of the audience and what a confirmation that was. And, yes. and I think confirmations are so incredible when we get those. It just reinforces like, okay, I see now. This is what I need to be doing. So yeah. So definitely go back and take a listen. It's a cool story.
It's such a beautiful, I keep repeating myself, but you basically just go back and listen to that.
I think episode. Of High School Musical, like it was such like a movie moment, experience for sure.
Yes. And this week we're going to continue on storytelling. I'm actually going to bring a story right now. And mine also was a movie moment, but it was a comedy. it wasn't one of those feel good movies. It was one of those like, I'm really, really embarrassed for you moments, but it was also a threshold for me. I'm spoiling this a little bit, but my story didn't turn out so good when I stepped through fear at that moment, but it ended up being empowering for a different reason. Mm. And so,
I can't wait to hear this.
So my story was actually very defining for me too, because it happened on my very first day of teaching ever. And teaching is, I don't know, maybe one of my most treasured experiences. And I wouldn't have quit had I not gotten ill. And, you know, I have little bits of this sprinkled throughout the podcast, but I used to teach high school. And that's, as we mentioned last episode and also in Leslie's interview, how Leslie and I met.
Yes.
And I was...
You're an incredible teacher. You are an incredible teacher.
Not, I wasn't like fishing.
No, I know. I'm just saying for context. You've been singing my praises. Now it's my turn.
So, well, teaching was what I just loved. I loved it so much, and mostly because of the honor it was and the privilege it was to be a part of a teenager's life. Like a teenager, a high school student only gets like, I don't know, 20 teachers or maybe just a little bit more than that or a little bit less than that. And these are such incredibly unique, beautiful years and can be challenging, but also teenagers are just so remarkable. And so to be a part of someone's life in that capacity was such an honor. And I am so much different and better for every student. And I loved every student I had. I know that sounds really sugary, but I did. they didn't all love me, which is also true and not sugary.
That is hard to believe.
You know, well, I, you know, it's like you're not everyone's cup of tea all the time, I suppose, right? So, I would say that teaching might have been the thing in my life that I was most natural at. I'm not trying to say I was the best, but it was a great fit for me, and it came pretty easily, except for not on the first day. And so, the first day, here's what happened: if you're not in the United States, we set up our school system so that high school is considered 9th through 12th. And some places it might be 10th through 12th if we're looking at public education. Mm-hmm. So these students are from about 14 to 18 or so. And we start our teaching career by going to college, going to school to get a teaching credential. You can get a master's in teaching if you want, whatever. I just have my credential. And when I was getting my credential, for all teachers, one thing you have to do is you have to student teach. Is that a term? Is that all, that you recognize having a student teacher?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, no, okay.
I recognize it more in college though. Like there would be student teachers in college classes, but I guess you'd have to do that in order to get your teaching credential. So yeah, it's a familiar term.
Okay. So basically the way it works in California, or anyway, when I was getting mine, is that I had three master teachers. Oftentimes people have one master teacher, and that is a veteran teacher who is well known and is, you know, has a lot to offer. So they sort of mentor you, and you come in for your very first time. All you've done is studied what teaching is in classes, or you've done mock-ups or something like that. So this is the first time that you actually have real life students sitting at their desks. Mm-hmm. And it's incredibly nerve-wracking, like, because you have all these visions of what could happen, and you've seen all the movies where they don't like the teachers or whatever, and the other thing is that your master teacher sits in the room and watches you teach every day and then gives you feedback, which is actually quite valuable. But the tricky thing is that the students on their schedule see the other teacher's name as their teacher, and they walk in and then they're told that they have a student teacher. And that doesn't usually go over that well, especially if the other teacher is really beloved. So I had, luckily for me, I had the most popular math teacher. And I was a student teaching in math. And so they all had her name on the schedule. And I get there and they come in thinking they're going to have her. And she tells them that this strange person is going to be their teacher for the whole semester. Leslie is laughing.
Oh, no.
Yes, right?
The sweat beads. I just imagine your face just like beating with sweat.
Oh, I was. Yes. Like, you know, you described last week about like the teeth chattering and the knees. Yes. Yes. I had all that. I was like, all of the nerves in the body.
Oh, no.
And I'm trying to act like I'm not nervous, because the last thing you want to do is like look like you're a nervous wreck when you're a high school teacher. That doesn't help anybody.
So
I was doing that thing like, okay, I have to do this. I have to do this. And I prepared this really intricate lesson because I really gave it my all. Like I gave all my heart and soul to this, the lesson planning and everything. But you know, nothing is easy the first day. Like I had to write myself notes. Don't forget to take attendance. Don't forget to do that. Like all the little things that are so second, you know, so just like come to you so naturally, I would have to write it down. So if you were driving, I would be like, put the key in the ignition, you know, turn it, like that kind of thing. I was writing the minutiae down because nothing was in my muscle memory at all.
Oh my gosh.
And I have this lesson on the first day. Mind you, on the first day, you also have 30 to 40 new students and you're trying to remember all their names and you're like teaching for the first time. You're prepared to fill up 55 minutes or whatever, that almost an hour worth of stuff. And that's just one class. You're doing this. We did three classes a day.
Oh
for
the first time. And so here I am, and they're all disappointed. They're not having this other teacher. My voice is shaking at this point, but I'm trying to act like it's not shaking. And I'm trying to dial into what matters and like focus on the kids and who they are. But I was so nervous and my brain was going like 5,000 directions. Oh, also, you're not in your own classroom. So nothing is set up the way you want it to be set up. You're borrowing people's classrooms. And so I'm in this classroom. I'd never taught in this classroom before. I was teaching in two other classrooms with two other teachers. And this was my first day with this teacher. And she had the overhead projector. You know what an overhead projector is, right, Leslie? Like,
oh yeah, remember your projectors and using those and the little pens and the clear papers and all that stuff.
Yes,
totally. Yeah, so
I was just asking someone yesterday. I'm like, how old do you think you are when you don't know what an overhead projector is? Like, where's the cutoff? So, in case you're listening and you don't know what an overhead projector is, and
if you were totally given an iPad myself, in school,
yes. or you know, if you don't have them in wherever you live, an overhead projector, How would you describe that?
Well, it's a box that has a light coming out of it, and you have a clear, I want to say Scantron, but that's not it. That's for taking tests. It's like a clear piece of paper, and then you write with like an erasable marker, and the light shines through it, and then there's like something that above it that captures it and projects it onto the screen.
Oh, that's such a good, yes, that's exactly what it
is. Is that a good example? Like that's, yeah, like you put it on the light and then the light shoots the picture through and there's like a mirror and it reflects and pushes the image out onto the screen. Got a little science-y there for you, sorry. But that's exactly what it was. I was just, yeah.
That was incredible. Yes. Yeah. That could be your second job, overhead projector describer.
In a museum. In a history museum from the from the 90s.
Oh, now we're in the 90s. We went to the 50s and the 90s. And so, okay.
Yes, I'm a time traveler. Okay.
yes. So thank you. That was perfect. Yes. So I would use a combination of the overhead projector sometimes and the chalkboard or the dry erase board and at other times. I think I did that with your class too, depending on my mood or depending on what I was trying to show.
Mm-hmm.
So this overhead projector was available. And you're right, you would project it onto a screen. So when the screen wasn't, I'm saying these details because they come into play, by the way. I'm not going to go on to describe the entire classroom just so everyone listening isn't worried. But when you're using the overhead projector, you would need to pull down the white screen. And that screen would be like something you would show a slideshow to. And we won't describe what a slide projector is, but you know, hopefully everybody's getting the idea.
Yeah.
And so the room right now is set up to use the chalkboard. And so the screen is up, the chalkboard is available, the overhead projector is on the ground. I'm teaching geometry in this class, and I wanted to do something that was hands-on because I'm someone who likes to just put your hands on things and not just only do things from the chalkboard. And so we had cut out these little planes. Not airplanes, but little like geometric planes. We won't go into the whole math lesson, but everybody had a piece of cardboard. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Shapes.
They were shaped and they were balancing it on their fingers to prove a point. And the whole class was involved and it was going fine. And I was like, okay, you know, this is going along okay. And then this one girl raises her hand and I can still remember her name. I won't say it for anonymity, but it was so engraved in my head this moment. I mean, I actually remember my students because they're so memorable, but this one moment, I remember exactly what I said. She raises her hand. She has a question and I say, you know, I'm trying to get the whole class involved. And so I say to everyone, I'm looking around, I start approaching her desk, we're all holding our cardboard shapes. And I address the whole class. And I said, this is such a good question. And I'm holding my cardboard thing. I am walking backwards, because I had approached her desk. I am walking backwards.
Oh, no.
Yes, I am walking backwards to go back to the chalkboard, forgetting that the overhead projector is on the ground. And this overhead projector is about, I don't know, 2 feet by 1 foot by 1 foot. And then it has the 3 foot long mirror thing.
Arm. Yeah. With a big thing on it. Yeah.
Yes. I've got confidence at this point because the lesson is going pretty well and I'm talking and I've got everybody's eyes on me because I'm like saying what a great question this is and I'm walking backwards. Oh my gosh. Leslie's head is like tipped back laughing. What she's imagining, yes, that is exactly what happened.
The whole thing in my head.
I flip over the overhead projector.
No.
I mean, like 2 feet not touching the ground, flipped over the overhead projector, and I am laying on the ground. Totally laying on the ground. First day of teaching ever.
And
the master teacher is in the back. She's in the back at her desk and she's watching this whole thing. And she says to me later, she's like, 1 second, I saw you standing up and the next second you were gone.
Oh no.
And so I stand up. First I'm like, oh my gosh. And you know, the room goes silent. Everyone's staring because their first instinct before they ridicule you is she okay? You know, like that's the first, like, is
I would
this,
hope so.
Is this, yeah. But do we need to do something? Like,
right.
And there's that moment where it seemed like 25 years, but it was probably like a split second. And I'm like, what do I do now? It's so, and I just, my dad's spirit inhabits me because he laughs when he's embarrassed and he like makes everybody else calm down. And so I start laughing and they realize like I'm okay. Uh-huh. And so I start laughing and I'm like, stand up. And mind you, nothing hurts, even though I think I really hurt myself. Suddenly there's no pain. I stand up and I start laughing. And that gave everyone permission to laugh. But
right. They
didn't know me well enough to be laughing with me. They were really laughing at me at this point. They were like, oh no, what have we gotten ourselves into with this teacher? She is so unable to, you know. And so I look at them and I'm laughing. And I say, I just did what every teacher hopes they never do on the first day of school. And I turn to the, I turn sort of in embarrassment. My body goes to the side and I accidentally kick over my briefcase at that same moment, like right after I say it. And my briefcase, now we're time traveling. Now we're going to the 90s again. My briefcase was one of those accordion briefcases.
Oh, yeah.
Soft accordion briefcases. I'm not even a briefcase person, but I thought I needed a briefcase to be serious. I don't. Yeah, you never saw me with a briefcase.
No.
Right? Like, I am not a briefcase person. But even though I can be really detail oriented when it comes to math teaching, I'm not a detail oriented person. So I have this briefcase. It's not zipped. There's a whole bunch of change at the bottom because I'm waitressing at night to put myself through teaching credential school. Like tons of change, like gobs and gobs of coins. Pens, because I love pens and I love pencils and I love crayons and rulers and protractors and books. Like all this stuff. And I turn and I kick over my briefcase and everything comes spilling out everywhere. Everywhere.
Oh, this
and
is brilliant.
At this point, I'm just like, oh, I mean, I can't even recover at this point. I'm like, and they are now in their second round of laughing at me. Like, it's the second round after the first round of laughing at me. And so I'm like, I need to pull it together and I need to finish this lesson. And I don't know what I'm saying. I could have been, who knows what I was saying, blah, 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 blah. I'm just like saying words. And I'm putting the overhead projector back on the table because I needed to use that for the last part of the lesson. So I put the overhead projector on the table. I go to pull down the screen because remember, you need the screen for the overhead projector. Well, this is not my classroom. I don't realize that I cannot reach the screen. Yeah, I cannot reach the screen. I take a yardstick and I try to pull down the screen with the yardstick. And that's not working. And so finally, the master teacher comes to the front and she pulls the screen down for me. I'm feeling like more and more and more inept. And I'm like, I'm cracking jokes left and right at this point. Like, it's just, and I turn on the overhead projector to finish the lesson. I'm trying to pull the whole class back together. I broke the overhead projector.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. So, oh,
bless.
That was my very first day of teaching. And that's what I mean when I say, like, what is the worst thing that can happen through fear? That I mean, aside from tragedy or, you know, something like that, this was maybe the worst I could have ever had.
It's a combination of the three worst things that could happen.
Yes. And I just,
Good thing you got it out of the way.
Well, that's it. That's the thing, is that there's nothing else that could go wrong at that point. It was like, I did it all. And it took, honestly, it took a little bit of time for me to gain their trust because I just looked like I had no way. And I was in the favorite teacher's room. Mm-hmm. And, but by the end of that semester, we got so close as a class. And we had the most beautiful ending. We had so many memories. We were laughing about that incident by the end. And they were not laughing at that point at me, but with me. Mm. And I like did this surprise thing at the end of the year where I started to reenact it. And just, you know, we did this massive memory type thing. And it was one of the most meaningful, beautiful classes that I could have imagined having. Mm. And it was also one of those things that you're like, okay, well, I'm still here and we're still going to move through this. And like, they announced the whole thing at this faculty meeting. They were like, we want to introduce the student teachers. And they told the story or a brief version of it. But I got to know everybody because everybody was coming up to me like with some sort of their own, you know, whatever happened to them or trying to comfort me or whatever. And I made so many friends over it, like colleague wise. And I think it's that thing where you're like, what's the worst thing that could happen? And funnily, you know, I think of all the things I've ever done in my life, that might've been where I got the most accolades was through teaching. And, but it started out like that.
That's incredible. That's an incredible story. Things that are popping out for me are, out of all the worst that could have possibly happened, ultimately it was about trust.
Mm.
You know, you had to just, because I think, you know, when, and then the other thing I thought was like, pride comes before the fall, literally.
Oh my God.
You're finally starting to feel like, I got this.
No. And then it's like, No one's ever told me that. That's so true.
And not that you were prideful, but you know, like,
no, but it was confident. Like, yeah. We
need to, I think also sometimes those things need to happen to like take this, like the intense seriousness that we place on things.
Yes.
You know, like
perfectionism was out the door.
Yeah. And ultimately none of what you had prepared mattered. It was about the trust that you built over time. Mm-hmm. You know, and it became something so beautiful. And now it's just this really awesome, funny story. But gosh, there are so many nuggets in there because no matter how much you can prepare, no matter how perfectly you can execute your plans and all your things, like stuff's gonna trip you up.
Oh my gosh, the puns, Leslie. It's like you heard this story before, you're giving, dropping the gem.
Man, but it's just, you know, it puts a lot of perspective on the things that we worry about and stress about, especially stepping into something new, something that, you know, you have been preparing and studying for, and then how perfectly imperfect it all was.
Yeah.
But how wonderfully it all turned out, because ultimately it wasn't about how much you studied. It was who you are as a person and gaining that trust with your students. And gosh, like everything you were explaining, I can literally go back to our classroom and I can see it all. I can see the projector. I can see your hand, the shadow of your handwriting. And your perfect handwriting on that screen. Everything was so perfectly written, but no matter how much you studied, you know, you just came with yourself and, you know, it was, that's the most incredible story. I love it.
It is freeing to just go, okay, we're not perfect and that's totally fine. And, you know, and it's interesting because I had two other master teachers, as I mentioned, and they also were very beloved, like really incredible teachers. And one of the other ones, just through social media, wrote on one of my posts. She's like, I still remember this story.
Oh my God.
This was 1992.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. I don't know how old I am. I'm not 30 yet. So I don't know how that is, but I guess I was time traveling then too.
Wow.
But no, she was like, I still remember. And she just had to write two words about it. And I was like, I know exactly what you're talking about. Because yeah, I think maybe we all realize that we're all just humans and, you know, we're on the same team actually. And nothing goes smoothly all the time, but that doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that this isn't your path. It doesn't mean that one failure should take you off course or that you shouldn't do something necessarily and that people don't give you grace and that you can't, you know, move through something. And laughing is the best. Like the amount of laughing about it is.
I'm just thinking like you get kicked off that horse or you trip over the projector screen, you got kicked off that horse and you got back up. You kept going, you know, and oh gosh, that's so brilliant. But bless you and those kids too. I mean, I'm trying to put myself in this kid's position. I don't think it would have been a lack of trust, like laughing at you. I think I would have been laughing out of like just that nervous energy, you know. I don't know what else to do right now, but
like secondhand embarrassment or something, you know.
Oh my goodness. But talk about getting out those first day jitters.
Yeah.
I mean, cause you got it. You did, you knocked it all out. You got every worst possible thing that could possibly happen out of there.
And I had no more nerves.
You know, the next day, what are you going to do? Show up with the clown nose on? Like,
it doesn't go downhill. It just doesn't.
It's only up from here. Just like the Shania Twain song.
Yes.
You can only go up from here.
Yeah, I know. I think in these two episodes that Leslie and I came to share our stories, it's just to say that fear doesn't have to be so prohibitive.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter if the first outcome is like unreal and unbelievable or a little bit comical, you still made it through. You still started.
Yeah. Yeah. And you gave everybody else permission to be human too.
Yeah.
You know, I think when we do stuff like that and you can just laugh at yourself, it gives everyone else in the room permission to realize we're all human. And it invokes empathy and compassion. You know, I honestly, like, I cannot imagine any one of those kids just laughing at you. I think everybody had to have had like, okay, this is her first day. Bless her, you know, how they say, like, bless your heart. Like, you just can't even, there's
lots
no
of blessings. Lots
critical.
And lots of I was, you know, the most blessed.
Compassion and empathy. And you actually, in those moments, you probably taught those kids some really valuable life lessons.
Oh, well, you know, and they likewise taught me, like, they stuck with me. They gave me a chance.
And I want to know what the girl's question was. what was her question?
Well, I've suddenly like blanked that whole part out. You know, like I do remember her name though, and I remember like how confident I was when I was walking backwards. I remember that feeling. Like I've got the whole class sitting, and I am yes. I wish you could see Leslie
arms
right
up
now.
In the air. Yeah. I got this. Oh
yeah, but wow, this, I mean, it turned into my most valuable experience of just years of teaching and amazing students. And I wouldn't know you, and I can't imagine my life without you. Gosh.
Well, you were the only one who could ever make math fun and interesting. I mean, I remember just your whole method and just, you know, but ultimately it's your heart. You know, it was your heart was just so for us. You were so for us, you know, and math almost felt like math came second. I mean, it wasn't second, but it, you know, we came first. What we needed came first. And then the math was just what you were teaching us. But like, you were there for us, you know, you were there for me. I remember like high school is a hard time for kids, and just your fun and laughter and probably everything you learned from that first day, you carried on through all those years later to me and the other kids in our class. And I mean, it was a profoundly life-changing experience. And now this story I'm going to keep with me forever because it just brings, you know, it's so relevant. You know, we all try so hard to be the best and be perfect at what we do, especially when we're getting into something new. And I think just remembering to not take anything so seriously, like we have to just leave room to trip and laugh, you know?
Yeah. And what's forged in the meantime, like in the blank space of that idea, and are the relationships and the memories and the ways that we evolve and change and yeah, laugh and cry together. And, you know, likewise, you were there for me. Like, we could never underestimate. I mean, so much so that in that one class, here we are all these years later.
Yeah.
It's very special. You are such a special person. And I'm going to say this one more time. If you haven't heard last week's episode, hearing Leslie's story, I think it'd be a really, really worth anyone's time to hear that, and also all your other episodes and your interviews. So I'll put them all in the show notes. But
awesome.
Leslie, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Letting me be a part of this with you, because you have so much to give, and your wisdom and your heart and your intention is so incredible and pure and uplifting. And so I just encourage everyone, if you haven't gone back and listened to other episodes, there are so many. Every episode is so rich with heart and stories and wisdom, and you're just amazing.
I mean, you oh my gosh.
Table tennis of compliments back and forth.
Yeah.
Once we get on a roll, you guys, we just, you know, there's just so much love here, and so much love for all you guys. And just know that, you know, this is a conversation between us, but it's a conversation between all of us, and
all the love
that we have for each other, we have for you as well.
Yeah.
You guys listening. And we hope that, you know, everything that you get out of this, laughter, tears, you know, and everything in between, that it's from such a place of love for you. And we just, you know, want to give you everything that we've got. So.
Yes. Leslie and I are thinking of you, and we say anything we just give you all our just warm wishes and our gratitude for who you are, and all just our belief. You have permission. Go out and move through that fear and into your authenticity and all that stuff, all that gushy stuff.
Yes, all the good stuff.
Yeah. So, Leslie, if people want to connect with you and also find your music and your amazing you, how can they find you?
I am, You can find me on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube at Leslie Page, P-A-G-E Music. You can also find me on my website, lesliepage.com or lesliepagemusic.com, all in the same. And if you want to find my music, you can find it on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, all the places that you can find music.
Yes. And oh my gosh, I posted one of your reels in my story a couple of days ago, and check out her reels and her posts. You will be so blessed by your singing. And if your mom starts selling those CDs from last week of, you know,
she would never, ever charge you. She would just want to give you 20 copies so that you can give to all of your friends.
And I would. Oh my gosh. There'd be so many people lined up. We'd have to have a lottery. So, all right. I'm on Instagram.
Yeah, where can we find you?
Lori Sasse. Instagram at Lori Sasse, LORISASE, or my website, lorisasse.com. And yes, if you could pass this episode along, or even, if you could just do us a favor and write a review, especially on Apple Podcasts, it just a sentence or two, that would help us out so much. And mostly though, just go out and just be your fearless you. And if you have some fear, that's okay. What's the worst thing that could happen? And also, you might really surprise yourself. And we are definitely giving you the standing ovation that Leslie got, and also all the love and connection. So
yes, yes, yes. And at the end of the day, it always makes a good, funny story. And who doesn't love a good, fun story?
Yes, it stands the test of time. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, everyone. We hope you have a beautiful week. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Yeah, because I was like, hey, everybody. Did I just say anything? Oh my gosh. Okay.
Okay.